The Burdekin is primarily known for its rolling paddocks of sugarcane, but more and more crops of mung beans are sprouting up. They're well suited to the region, and good returns and high yields have seen more growers giving the crop a go. In fact, CSIRO Principal Scientist Stephen Yates believes the region has the best growing conditions in Australia, and that's why he's testing new varieties for their sustainability to the area.
The system in the Burdekin is probably a little bit unique to most of the rest of Australia that grows mung beans, in that it's a fully irrigated crop that, you know, to justify the costs of irrigation on the land here, we have to get a high yield, and it's therefore a little bit higher input than what you'd grow in other areas of Australia, where it's mainly a dryland crop and low input. So it's a different philosophy to growing it. So with the work that's been going on, and a lot of it done by the farmers and the local agronomists, commercial agronomists here, is to get that package for growing these varieties reliable and giving the best results as well as the variety on its own.
He's looking for varieties that are high yielding, and that means plants that have a longer flowering period.
The climate here, particularly in the spring, what the southerners would call the spring, the period from about late August through to November, is incredibly good for mung beans. It's probably one of the best I've ever looked into. And we can get a lot higher yields, but we've actually got to breed material that can respond to this climate to get the higher yields. And, you know, it's a little bit technical, but we need them actually to flower for longer so we get more pods, because the climate's capable of carrying more pods.
Burdekin sugarcane and rice farmer Alan Milan recently planted his second crop of mung beans. He couldn't be happier with the performance so far.
These new varieties that currently we're growing, Jade and Crystal, seem to be going quite well. Prices are very strong. So, yeah, farmers that are probably even getting their 1.3 tonnes of the hectare are probably making, you know, some money. I would like to think that, yeah, we should be up around that 1.8. There's some growers now that in our district have done 2 tonne plus. So, yeah, it would be nice to think that in due course we could hit that 1.8, 2 tonnes every crop.
But Alan says he's still evaluating the cost of inputs like irrigation, fertiliser and pesticides before he can evaluate the net return from growing mung beans.
Well, mung beans is paid on a quality thing. So for every time there's any sort of impurities, and if there's any sort of disease in your plants, they can cause downgrades in your sample. So, yeah, that obviously costs you money at the end of the day when you go to sell your product.
But the crops aren't just limited to the coast in the north. At Richmond, a few hundred kilometres inland, Corbett Tritton grows the beans, and they did well, producing around 1.5 tonnes to the crop. He says the keys to profit for him are the price of the beans and the availability of water.
You know, if they can improve the varieties, the standability, the yieldability and the disease resistance of the bean, which is no doubt where their efforts are focused, then it's positive, yeah.
Stephen Yates is also tipping the export market to grow.
You know, the price has been well over $1,000 a tonne, and the markets are maturing a lot due to changes in Asia, is my understanding, according to the Australian Mung Bean Association, and that the countries like China are importing mung beans and using a lot of the land they would grow to mung beans to grow, you know, higher value vegetables or whatever. They're a bit like Australians and beer. They have to have their mung beans. So someone's got to grow them somewhere.